Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome once again to worship this morning, although we do remain without Pastor Hope and without Sharon here with us. We do continue to carry on as we pray for their return to good health. We do welcome everyone this morning as we worship again together here in Milford and wherever those of you are who are watching us online this morning. These days are bringing us some major concerns. At the same time, we need to remember we have much to celebrate. There are some announcements this morning, as usual. The Harbor of Joy prayer team does continue to hold many other people in prayer as well, as Pastor Both and Sharon. Kathy Verbaes, Tammy Abel, Thelma Lubinas, Mary and Kyle, Pastor Porter and Diane, Enid Cresswell, just to name a few. Please refer to your bulletin and add these people to your prayers. We know the prayer list is long, and we thank that prayer team for their dedication to meet and pray. We thank Charlie also. We know she feels like the weight of the world is on her shoulders right now, and we are grateful for her as well. We are grateful for Bob and Gloria. So much more than employees you give of yourself. You are both wonderful, and we thank you very much. The next Joy Kids Supper will be Wednesday, February 2nd at 5:15. Again, I am planning to get those groceries, bring them here, so we can do the majority of the cooking here in our church kitchen. Please let me know if you can help with that, and I will fill you in on the details. We will plan for good, fun, and simple. So please let me know if you can help. There are some people that would like to be called upon. I can see Dean standing up. I just have a feeling he wants to talk.
I'm having a hard time hearing this morning. So.
Is there something you would like to tell us?
Yes. Wednesday night fellowship, the chili cook-off's been, we're going to put that on hold till we have Tim here. But we're going to meet anyway. We've got a speaker lined up. Karen, could you tell us his name?
Julie and John Bannon that are from STEM. They were here earlier. They're going to tell us about their 3 weeks in Africa taking those water
units. Yeah. So they're going to be our speaker. I think I'm going to order pizza and just bring pizza. And with the COVID and everything, I think that's the best route to go. So, and as far as Pastor Tim and Sharon, they are recovering, they're getting better. Tim's still in the intensive care, though. Cheryl spent a couple of days with Sharon. She said she's struggling, but she's getting better. And the daughters are here now this weekend, so. We'll just keep them in our prayers, and I guess I have no other news for you.
Nancy wants to speak.
I wanted to say that Marion has recovered. She was asymptomatic. I did visit Kielsen, and so the ladies there are good. And Patty has arrived safely in Tanzania and is, still requests our prayers. She has good things and hard things to do there, so she appreciates.
Very good. Lisa wants to speak.
There used to be, until the pandemic came, the community table that met at the Bible conference grounds there once a month. And they are trying to start that again, the community table, and which is that we would provide a meal. A meal would be provided once a month by any church that would want to do that. And we had done it before, and so I'm putting the feeler out just to see if there's people that are interested in, you know, helping or co-spearheading or something the meals. I think it was the third Thursday of every month, I believe it was. I have to double check on that. What I mostly want to do is let you know that they have. That they're trying to resurrect that again due to the COVID that was around, so they didn't meet. And so I'm wondering, I've been contacted to see if our church would be willing to provide a meal I know there's February and there's March for sure, and I'm sure that there's other months too. But just if you would, you know, I just like to get a feel of it. If we feel that that's something our congregation would still like to do or would be willing to help out with that. So I'll just leave it at that, I guess, Vicki.
Okay.
Leave it at that.
Thanks.
Charlie. I need 3 Thursdays filled for Meals on Wheels for February. Anybody that's interested, give me a call.
And I know Karen has something she'd like to tell us.
I just wanted to draw your attention to the floodmobile that's coming a week from tomorrow at Spirit Lake in the Senior Center underneath the water tower, and then a week from Wednesday in Milford. Flood is not only desperate, it's critical. They even have to, in the hospitals now, they have to, the doctors have to figure out who needs blood the worst. They can't give it to everybody that needs blood. And of course, blood cannot be manufactured. And it's just easy to give one little stick. It's nice if you have an appointment. And if you want an appointment, you can call 800 Red Cross. Or if you want to get on, just visit the redcrossblood.org to make an appointment. You don't need an appointment, you can show up. 12 to 6, 6 in Spirit Lake a week from Monday, 1 to 6 in Milford a week from Wednesday. Please think about giving some blood so we aren't at such desperate levels.
And if I remember correctly, 1 pint of blood can serve 2 or 3 people, platelets, red cells, plasma. So 1 pint of blood can really do a great deal of good. I don't have anything else. Is there anyone else? Okay.
Oh,
Please join me in prayer. Our God, it is so wonderful to know that you are our God, that you are the one and only true God and Father to us all. Sometimes it's so hard to imagine that we are just as much your children as people like Moses and David, like Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. But through your word, we know that you love us just as you love them. And it is wonderful to know that we don't have to earn your love because you have already given it to us. We just need to open our hearts to receive it. Bring us close to you now as we bring our praise to you. Amen. And our responsive reading this morning is from Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand.
And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly.
Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?
For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son,
how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, and in the situation, as we sing this song, Thrive, understand that we're not to mow it just to survive, but we are to thrive.
Thank you.
is John 20, 24 through 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name.
Circumstances, whether we firmly believe in you or have doubts. God, I ask that you would give me the words to speak and that hearts would be open to hear what it is that you need them to listen to. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Okay, so I'm not one to shy away from hard topics, and so when I found out that I was going to be doing it another sermon, I was like, all right, let's just dive right into the deep stuff. So I'm also working on being a lot more open and honest and vulnerable, because there's a lot of freedom that comes with acknowledging the truth. My sermon from 2 weeks ago, for those of you who weren't here, was about how God wants to use our brokenness. Today's sermon follows a similar vein and explores the concept of doubt. Doubt is something that I think isn't talked enough about in today's church. There's good reason for it. The whole point of Christianity is to have faith in Jesus. Each Sunday, we sing songs about what we believe.
recite the Apostles' Creed, and read scripture to remind ourselves what we believe. All of that is good and even necessary. But what about doubt? What if you struggle with your faith? What if you want to pursue God and lean into a close relationship with God, but you either don't know how to do so or feel like all your efforts are getting you nowhere? What if you come across a question, either on your own or that someone asked you, that you don't know the answer to, and that causes you to question seemingly everything that you know to be true? If you've ever struggled with doubt, you know that doubt can be crippling. It can even make it seem impossible to connect with God, and it can be really hard to find hope. If you're in a place of doubt right now, I want you to know this. You're not alone. I've struggled with doubt myself. I try to keep a journal somewhat consistently, and one of my entries asks these questions. Am I really even a Christian? Does God really love me still? And if so, why can't I feel God? Why does God feel so distant? Is it because I'm doing something wrong? At that time in my life, I was flooded with doubts and insecurities. I had experienced the goodness of God in my life. I had accepted Jesus as my Savior and committed to following Him. I had even helped lead other people to make the same decision in their life. But even yet, I had doubts. Doubt isn't a new thing. Satan tries to convince us that we are alone in our fight against doubt and other insecurities. But that is a lie and a tactic Satan uses to make us feel alienated, both from God and other people. Doubt has been around since the very beginning. When the serpent whispered in Eve's ear, did God really say? Numerous characters in the Bible have struggled with doubt. Abraham and Sarah doubted that God would grant them a child in their old age. Moses doubted if God could really use him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Job doubted the goodness of God. Perhaps the most famous doubter is the disciple from our gospel reading today, Thomas. We'll take a closer look at his story soon, but for right now, just know you're not alone in doubt. I think we should clarify what doubt is not. First, doubt is not the opposite of faith. We tend to think of doubt and faith as being opposite sides of a seesaw, as if having doubt dictates that you don't have any faith, or that by having faith, you aren't allowed to have doubt. On the contrary, in many cases, doubt and faith actually work together. A quote I found that helps expound on this is by David Zoll, who said, "Doubt is not the opposite of faith. If anything's the opposite of faith, it's certainty." One more thing that doubt is not. Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is a feeling. And while feelings are unreliable, they are not sinful. Anger is also a feeling. But anger itself is not inherently sinful. Anger can lead to sinning, but we also know that there is such a thing as righteous anger. Righteous anger, rather than leading to hurting those around us, causes us to fight for justice and restoration. In a similar way, doubt can lead us to sinning, but it can also lead to faithfulness. Succumbing to doubt may lead to rejecting God, but taking the time to dig deep into the questions doubt asks and bring those questions to God actually brings us closer to God. Another quote by David Zoll reads, "Doubt is an integral part of faith. It means you are actually present in your faith and processing it. You're engaging with God in a way that's honest and real. And that's always where God shows up." The reality is, having doubt is part of being human. It may not have been in God's original plan for the world, but it is still the part of the real, authentic, broken world. And like everything else, God just wants to be there with you. When you are experiencing time of doubt, it is often worth trying to identify if and how your doubt is a result of you trying to understand a broken part of your world. For example, when I was experiencing doubt about my salvation and God's love for me, I was in a kind of rough time in my life. My grandma had passed away not long before. I was struggling more than ever with anxiety and even times of feeling worthless. And despite being part of a wonderful Christian community and spending part of each day reading my Bible and attempting to pray, I felt more distance from God than I had previously remembered. I struggled to understand where God was in my life and how a loving God could seem so far away. Of course, God was still loving and God was still there. But at that time, I simply couldn't understand that truth, because my brain was having trouble reconciling a loving God with a God that allows death, mental illness, and suffering. Dan Hasseltine, a member of the Christian band Jars of Clay, once said that doubt often takes the shape of trying to understand the character and heart of God. As I worked through my doubt, I had to bridge the gap that a loving God and the pain, between a loving God and the pain of death and mental illness. That doesn't mean that I am now able to explain all the nuances of this seeming paradox, but I was able to come about to peace about the matter by digging deeper into my faith about who God is, and ultimately bringing my doubts and questions to God, who knows the pain in my heart and still shows unwavering love for me. I've had several conversations with people who also have struggled with doubt, and during that time in their lives, they all had one common burden. They all felt ashamed of their doubt, and they felt that they had disappointed both God and other Christians by not being strong enough in their faith. But is there any validity to their concerns? Let's look at our scripture for today. What is the first thing that Jesus says when he entered the room where his disciples, including Thomas, were gathered? Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Jesus knew that Thomas was there. He knew Thomas's doubts and fears, but he chose to go meet Thomas and the rest of his disciples with the promise of peace. And then Jesus addressed Thomas directly. How does he handle Thomas, who previously doubted Jesus' resurrection and desired evidence before he would change his mind? Jesus doesn't dismiss or condemn Thomas. Instead, he draws Thomas to himself and brings him close. And he shows him his scars. He shows him his wounds. Jesus brings Thomas close. He invites him in and he embraces him. Jesus meets Thomas where he is at. He shows him unconditional love and compassion. Jesus provides the evidence that Thomas needed to believe and then calls on Thomas to respond in faith. Thomas's reply is to acknowledge Jesus not only as Lord, but as his own personal God, my Lord and my God. That isn't the only example of how Jesus handles doubt. When a father of a son possessed by a demon came to Jesus and asked Jesus to help him overcome his unbelief, Jesus responded by turning his son to wholeness and casting out the demon and returning the son to his loving father. In Matthew 28, Jesus appeared on the mountain right before he gave the Great Commission and ascended into heaven. In verse 17, it reads, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Jesus' own disciples, even after seeing him appear to them and do several miracles after the resurrection, still had doubt. But Jesus still gave all of his disciples the charge of going and making more disciples and spreading the good news everywhere. Jesus didn't doubt the ministry his disciples would do just because of their doubt. He still welcomes those who doubt as part of his brothers and sisters. This is further seen in Jude 1, verse 22, where it says, "Be merciful to those who doubt." This is written to a church, and it says that there will be people who doubt. It also says how you should treat them. Note that it doesn't say to shun those who doubt or try to convince those who doubt of the right opinion to have or shame doubters who have supposedly weak faith. Rather, we are to treat those who doubt with mercy, love, and compassion, just as Jesus did. Maybe you haven't struggled with doubt before, but that doesn't mean that you are able to ignore the reality of having doubt in the world. There's a book called The Reason for God. It's written by Timothy Keller, and in it, he writes, "Believers should acknowledge and wrestle with doubts, not only their own, but also their friends and neighbors. It is no longer sufficient to hold beliefs just because you inherited them. Only if you struggle long and hard with objections to your faith will you be able to provide grounds for your beliefs to skeptics, including yourself. Even if you're not the one struggling with doubt, that doesn't mean you can't sit with the questions and think about them for yourself. This is helpful for two reasons. First, asking questions helps you to grow in your own faith. God welcomes all questions, even questions of doubt. He wants us to grow in our faith, and Jesus has the answers. Second, having a posture of empathy will help you to love on those who are struggling with doubt. Mark Odman from the Christian band Jars of Clay said, "In moments of doubt, trite answers don't have the comfort that we often think they should. We often think that we can counter someone else's doubt with arguments, but nothing is farther from the truth. Inserting pat, easy answers hinders those who doubt from actually bringing their questions to God and realizing that God loves them in the midst of their doubt. In fact, we might go back to how Jesus saved us from ourselves. If we imagine ourselves as being trapped in a pit, how does Jesus come to save us? Does he come over to the hole and wave down at us and say, "Oh, go get a ladder. Hold on just a second," and goes, gets a ladder and gives the ladder to us so that we can climb up? No, that's not how Jesus saves us. Jesus joins us in the pit so that he can provide the support to get us out and to climb out of the hole. Jesus joined us in our humanity, in our brokenness, and became subject to everything that comes with being human. Jesus experienced pain, suffering, loss, and despair as a human, also that he could bring us to heaven, where we can live forever without the confines of this broken world. Our best response to those struggling with doubt is to follow in Jesus' footsteps, not try to rationalize them out of their doubt, but instead sit alongside them as they wrestle and bring their questions to God. Be beside them with empathy, love, and kindness. In conclusion, I want you to remember two things. First, Jesus loves those who wrestle with doubt. Should be pretty obvious to you. We say almost every Sunday, Jesus loves you, but sometimes we forget about it. So Jesus loves those who wrestle with doubt. His love for his children does not waver based on their doubt. And having doubt doesn't mean that you aren't a Christian. Second, it's okay to not have all the answers. We aren't meant to know all the answers, but it is good and right to bring our doubts and questions to God. He will be with us as we wrestle through them. If we don't bring our questions to God, that is when doubt can lead us down the path of farther away from God. That is when we find ourselves in a place where we can't see God. But if we bring our questions to God, God will restore our belief and build upon it. And he will show his true self to us. As we wrestle through our questions, God will draw us closer as our questions help us grow in faith and rely more on our ever-loving God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for accepting us as we are, for loving us for who we are, for being with us in our brokenness and pain and suffering and doubt. God, I ask that for those that are struggling with doubt today, that they would bring their doubts and their questions to you, that they would rely on you in this time as they wrestle with these questions. Turn it into a fountain of knowledge and thirst for you, God. I ask that for the rest of us, you would help us to support those who are wrestling with doubt, that we would be alongside them with empathy and show them your love. Bring each of us closer to your heart today, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to stand, please, and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He is ascended in heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And our benediction today is from Psalm 115, verses 12 and 13. To remind us we are never alone. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Amen.